Matthew chapter 28. It ought to be one of the most familiar passages of Scripture to a Baptist. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The title of my message today is The Purpose of Baptist Churches. Now, from my investigation of the New Testament, I have long believed that Jesus gave what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission, right here. And I believe that He gave it to the church that He organized during His earthly ministry. And by extension, all churches that proceed from that one in perpetuity. I believe this. Jesus started His church during His earthly ministry. He started it before the day of Pentecost. This is the institution that He purchased with His own blood, that He promised a perpetual existence to. He charged them with the responsibility of propagating the truth until He returns. That goes for gospel preaching as well as biblical instruction. Now, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus gave this commission to a Sovereign Grace, landmark, independent Baptist church. Whatever adjectives you want to add to that, I believe this. That the church that Jesus organized was in essence what we would today identify and refer to as a sound scriptural Baptist church. I'm not ashamed of the name Baptist. I believe there's some biblical significance to it. Now, honestly, I ask you, and I want you to think about what I'm saying here. Did Jesus give the Great Commission to the Roman Catholic Church? They weren't in existence then. There were no popes in the New Testament. There were no nuns. There were no priests, you know, that you would call Holy Father. And in fact, Jesus instructed against that. He said, call no man Father in the religious sense. So we know that this commission was not given to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, they claim that it was. We also know that this commission was not given just to the apostles, because they died. He said, Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world, even until the end of the age, I'm going to be with you. It had to be His church. Now, again, we know I've taught several lessons refuting a lot of Catholic doctrine. Well, where do all Protestant churches come from? When was the Lutheran church started by Martin Luther? He came out of the Catholic Church. The Presbyterian Church, for all intents and purposes, started by John Calvin and his followers. The Episcopal Church, started by the King of England when the Roman Catholic Church wouldn't grant him a divorce. So he started the Episcopal Church, the Church of England. The Methodist Church came out of the Church of England. The Church of Christ, started by Alexander and Thomas Campbell in 1829, they came out of the Presbyterian Church. The point I'm making is, all Catholic churches, the Catholic Church and all Protestant churches that come from her, they were established too late for this commission. Now again, I believe that Jesus is the head and founder of the New Testament Baptist Church as an institution. I'm not Reformed. I don't owe my existence to the Reformers. I'm not a Protestant. Even though I do protest against Romanism, I also protest against Protestantism. They believe in sprinkling babies. Many of them believe in free will. I don't. That's why I don't believe Reformed and Baptist, those two terms, do not go together. We are not the product of the Reformation. We have not and will not identify with the Roman Catholic Church or her Protestant offspring. We're Baptists without apology. Now, this commission was given 2,000 years ago. We're removed over 2,000 years. From the first proclamation of the Great Commission. And I fear that through the passage of time, many who call themselves Baptists have forgotten what their real purpose on earth consists of. I'm going to ask you, as a church, why are we here? What's the purpose of our existence? Why do we assemble as the body of Christ on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why do we go out on visitation on Thursday night? Why do we collect tithes and offerings? Why do you have a pastor? Why do we have teachers? What is your real purpose for existing? It's a good question. And I fear a lot of so-called Baptists have forgotten entirely why we exist. It's not to please men. It's not to be popular. Now, the word purpose is defined as the reason for which something exists. An intended or desired result, end, aim, or goal. To act with determination or resoluteness. Now, I've got three simple points this morning. As New Testament Baptist churches, our purpose, first and foremost, is to glorify God through acceptable worship. I've always thought it fascinating that before Jesus gave the Great Commission, Before that church was endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, they were gathered in the place that Jesus had appointed them for worship. Now, we find that here in verse 17, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Now, Luke gives us a little bit different take. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 24. And verse 50. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him. And returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. And look at verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Before they ever were given what we call marching orders, they were gathered to worship. They were gathered to exalt. They were gathered to pay honor and homage to the Lord God Himself. This is a fundamental principle that you and I as believers have to exercise privately each and every day and publicly when we assemble for worship. It's one of our primary functions as a church. To worship God means that you daily devote yourself to the honor and the glory of God. It means that you as a believer are committed to living a life that's pleasing in His sight. A life that is devoted to fellowshipping and communing with God through His Word and prayer. Worship should come in the form of private devotion as well as public declaration. Why aren't Baptists worshiping anymore? Why do we think that our function is just to come to church? Perhaps it's because we're not spending any time in the secret place of the Most High, adoring, worshiping, exalting the Lord at home. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come with a worshipful attitude. We've come to worship the King. The Bible says in Psalm 29:2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In order to worship God, though, you have to have a spiritual nature. You have to be born of God. The Spirit has to dwell in you. He has to give you the Spirit of adoption whereby you're able to cry out, "Abba, Father," where you're able to communicate with God, where you can talk to Him in prayer and He can talk to you, not audibly, but through His Word, and you understand it. These are aspects of worship. In worship, you acknowledge the worthiness of God. And as a Baptist church, and as members in particular, we ought to be worshipers of the Most High God. We ought to recognize every day His worthiness of our praise, of our adoration, our obedience, all of which are an act of worship when you go to work. As a believer, you ought to do it in a spirit of worship. Because whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. It's not just talking about singing hymns and coming to church. It's talking about every day consecrating yourself, presenting yourself as a living sacrifice unto God, proving what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's worship. If you're a mom and you are taking care of your children and minding the work of your house, that's an act of worship. When you teach school, when you work on railroad cars, when you put in HVAC systems, you do accounting, you do rental work, whatever you guys do, it should be done with this in mind. I belong to the Lord. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'm to do it with all my might in order to glorify Him. In order to honor Him with my life. You know, the First Baptist Church had the power of God upon it because it had the priority of worship in it. Look over with me to Acts chapter 2. And verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Chapter 4 and verse 31. When they experienced persecution, when they were threatened with imprisonment, they went to God in prayer, in worshipful prayer, exalting Him, acknowledging Him as their Creator, their Protector, their Redeemer. And notice what happened. Chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This just wasn't one day a week. This was every day. They were worshiping God. Our first priority as individuals and as a church body is to worship and adore and commune and delight ourselves in God. We have so much more power to walk with God, to obey, to witness, to have boldness, if every day we worship the Lord. I'll tell you, it's not easy to do. You got to crucify your self-will. You got to set aside time to spend in the Word. You got to set aside some time to go to God in prayer. You've got to be conscious every day of your responsibility to be a witness wherever you are, because you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Your body belongs to God. You're an ambassador of Christ. Every day, you're to be dedicated. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. That's the first function. The first real purpose of a church is to have members that are worshiping God, acknowledging that He is the source of their salvation. He is the one that's brought redemption. He is the one that's given them spiritual life. Every day, we must dedicate ourselves to God. We fail a lot of times. Folks, if this is all you get on Sunday morning, and and you don't worship God throughout the week, you're not going to have the power of God in your life. I mean, this is the cream. This is the easy part. Coming to the house of God. I mean, people that are... Who wouldn't want to be with God's people? And sing together and be instructed from the Word and have fellowship. Man, this is the cream of the week. Turn over to Psalm chapter 96. Psalm 96, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation every Sunday. Anybody catch that? That's not what the Bible says. It says, show forth His salvation from day to day. Day to day worship. Day to day declaration of your allegiance and loyalty to your King. Verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen. His wonders among all people. Who are the heathen? It's anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Religious or not. If you're separated from God, if you don't have a true knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're as bad off as the deepest, darkest place in Africa. Now, what's amazing to me is I believe that the gospel has gone to the four corners of the earth. Whether it be through communities, people knocking on doors, passing out tracts, or through preaching, street preaching, TV, radio, internet, sermon audio, satellite broadcast. The gospel's gone all over the world. We're to show forth His salvation from day to day. Why? Again, it goes back to worship. He's worthy. Look at verse 3. For the Lord, or verse 4, for the Lord is great. And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. You are to reverence Him more than you do government officials. More than you do false gods of this world. Every day. Worshiping. Dedicating ourselves afresh and anew, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. Look at verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness, fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. People aren't doing that. Who's telling people that God's sovereign, that He reigns? You know what Friday was? The world set aside a day to worship the earth. Yeah, it's called Earth Day. It started actually 100 years to the day, on the birthday of Vladimir Lenin. I think, or Trotsky, one of the communist founders. And you think that's just a coinkydink? I'll tell you who's behind all this, the climate religionists, this communism. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for conservation and conversation about it. I'm all for it. I mean, use what you got to the best of your ability. Too many people throw junk away all the time that can be reused and repurposed. I mean, our forefathers, they knew how to conserve things. They kept using them. And when they broke, they fixed them. I still favor that. I'm a tightwad. I'm in favor of conservation. But if you think for a minute that puny, sinful, corrupt, finite man can somehow save the planet, you're living in a fairy tale. You can't save the planet because you don't have control over it. Men don't have control of the weather or the seasons. I put on Facebook earlier in this week that I predict in the weather patterns a warming trend for the next 5 to 6 months. Now, for those who are the real climate change deniers, who really don't deny, I believe in real climate change. It's called spring and summer. Alright? Then I made another prediction. After that period of warming, we were going to enter into a cooling phase. We normally refer to that as fall and winter. And guess what? That's the way it's been for 6,000 years of human history. You did hear me right. I don't believe that. It seems like every 10 years they come up, they put another 2 billion years on the Earth's age. They don't have any idea how old the Earth is. I do, because I know the one who created it. It's God Almighty. And I'm not ashamed of that. The Lord reigns, not men. Men can't save the planet. God upholds all things by the word of His power. Read Psalm 104, the creation song. You know what? People are afraid to buck against the system. They're afraid somebody will call them ignorant. I believe the Bible. I believe God's Word. I believe that He's in control. And I know that I ought to be telling people, the Lord's the one reigning. The Lord is the one. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? You give me one viable way to prevent a hurricane. Just one. And I'll give you $1 million. How can you prevent a hurricane? You can't. You say, well, why does God send hurricanes? Number one, because it pleases Him to do so. He's got a purpose in everything. Number two, I think God sends a lot of things for judgment. So, but people are innocent. No, none of us are innocents. We're all sinners. These truths have just completely fallen by the wayside. Why? Baptists aren't functioning like they should. We're not worshiping. We're not declaring among the heathen that the Lord reigns. We're not talking about the greatness of God. It says there in verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. God reigns. You know why we are not telling people? Because we're not worshiping in our private lives, in our personal lives. Because if we were, if our hearts were filled up with the glory of God, we would declare His glory. We'd find ourselves singing praise to our God, because true service comes from a heart that overflows with the worship of our Lord. This has just turned into a two-part sermon. I got stirred up. I hope you understand that our function as a Baptist church doesn't rest in these pews. We're to be living our faith as an act of worship, declaring the worthiness of God to a world that's in darkness, that desperately needs what we have. Look at all the failed attempts that man has produced, whether it be through government or social programs. And yet we got more drug abuse, more drunkenness, more immorality than ever before in my lifetime. And why is it? Vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. We've got to understand that if we're going to change our world, we better worship the Lord and declare His glory. And do it with boldness, with unashamedly declaring our faith. So the first point, you got it right? Our first point of primary importance, this is the problem when you sit in the front pew, is we are to glorify God through acceptable worship. Next week, I'm going to give you the second function, the second purpose, if you will, of our existence as a New Testament Baptist church. We are to work for God. Easy to remember. Both start with a W. All right. Worship and work. And I'm hoping to get my last one on there too. Let's all stand. Thank you.